Here we go. I'm happy and I'm free. Just listen to the wind. Now look, is there any easier way to wake up on a Saturday morning than just setting your radio alarm to Rosie on the House? Good morning. Sun's not even up yet. It's going to be a beautiful morning. And we have got a power-packed show for you today. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. At 10 o'clock, we're going to be bringing in a very special guest from MAM. We're going to be talking and featuring a few of our favorite charities here at the end of the year that we support all year long. You interviewed MAM.
Military Assistant Mission. Very, very great organization. We'll be looking forward to having them in studio a little bit later this broadcast.
9 o'clock, we're going to be talking to Habitat for Humanity and all they do for the community in housing all through the great state of Arizona. 8 o'clock, this is going to be a great hour.
We've got Jay Harper will be in, along with the Community Gardening Center from St. Vincent de Paul. They've got an incredible community garden with aquaponics, so they're going to come in and talk about what their little project right just south. I mean, it's right in the industrial district, and they've got this beautiful community garden you just walk into.
Raising the fish creates the fertilizer for 42,000 pounds of vegetables. The fish grow to edible size and become fillets. It's like the
and go
like the
back
perfect,
into compost.
It's like the perfect system.
It really is. I had the privilege of going down there this week. I took a little video, a little walkabout video. It's on our Facebook page if you want to see it, as well as some photos of the garden.
Fantastic. And of course, through all of that time, if you have questions about your lawn or garden or a home improvement project you're working on, well, that's why we're here. And you just dial the toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. But as you all know, regular listeners, the 7 o'clock hour doesn't generally have anything to do with home ownership strictly. It has to do with whatever the Romeros are interested in that week. And Jennifer and I attended an Arizona State Historical Society Symposium Seminar, one of the kind of lab exercises, field trips. Was at a place called Steam Pump Ranch. It was a historic homestead north of Tucson on Oracle Road, where the Push Ridge is. It's the Push family. And during that demonstration, I was able to meet archaeologist Alan DeNoyer, who's joining us by phone from Tucson this morning. Alan, thanks a bunch for making the time, man.
Thanks for having me, Rosie.
All right. So, Alan, explain to our listeners what we saw at that demonstration y'all had at Steam Pump Ranch.
So when you guys came out, you saw a reconstructed pit house that we had built up there that is based on Hohokam period houses that were built about 700 years ago in the area. Archaeologists had excavated a site very nearby. And so we used a lot of the plans, the construction details that they were able to glean from the house to build that house with.
All right. And explain to the listeners, if you're going to build a pit house, talk me through it. And which building codes are you complying to?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We actually had to get permits to do that almost. They were... People saw the house, and they're like, do you have permits for this? And we're like, well, we're not really planning on living in it.
Pending.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, there's no electricity. There's no indoor plumbing. What do you need permitted here?
Right, exactly.
All right. So how do you build a pit house?
So in this instance, we had to gather the material, the larger beams and logs for the framework, the internal framework. We actually gathered those off of Mount Lemmon. They'd been doing some tree cutting up there. And in that village, when they excavated, they actually discovered that in some of the houses that had burned, they had used pine logs that they had brought down from Mount Lemmon. So it was, reasonable.
And when you say that village, right there at the steam pump is where the village was?
No, the village was actually up on a terrace up above the CDO wash there.
Okay.
they did earlier on live down in the bottoms of the of the floodplains, but by this point in time, folks were mostly building their villages up on the terraces above the floodplains.
Okay, so
this village was called Honeybee Village.
Honeybee. So I'm there 4,000 years ago. I'm going to walk up to the top of Mount Lemmon, almost naked, barefooted, and I'm going to find a way to cut down a pine tree.
Yep.
And then I'm going to carry it back down to the village.
Well, actually, it's been fun because we do a lot of stuff called experimental archaeology. And so this would be about 700 years ago of this time period.
Okay.
And they made stone axes. And so what we figured out that they did, it's much easier to cut a tree down when it's green. So you would go up on the mountain and you would probably cut the tree down with your axe. And then you would let it lay there for a year or maybe longer to let it dry out, because there's no way that anybody would want to carry a tree down that's wet. If you've ever done that, it's amazingly heavy.
All right. So we get the beams down. Now, these pit houses, how many square feet did they constitute? How big were they?
Well, you know, there's a wide range of them. Some are very small, you know, like maybe 6 to 10 feet in diameter, okay, or rectangular shapes. The earlier structures are round, and then the later structures are rectangular.
Interesting.
And then they can be up to 20, 30 feet wide, long. Some structures may even have been communal houses. They were so big.
So I've got these dry pine logs hauled down from Mount Lemmon to this site. What's the next thing I do?
So you have to dig a hole. So they built their houses out of pits in the ground. So you get a digging stick and you go out there and you just start digging away. Probably they waited until the rainy seasons to do this, and the water coming down gets the ground wet, which makes it much easier to dig. When it's baked and dry in the hot summer and, you know, during the dry periods, wow, it's hard. It's a quick way to get a lot of nice blisters.
I think everything you've described so far convinces me if I were on the construction crew for this, I would want to be the superintendent.
That was my job.
Okay, so you've got the logs, you've dug the pit the size of the footprint of the house that you want.
Yep.
What next?
So along with the logs, you're going to need smaller materials like seep willow and maybe just desert willow branches. So I guess the way to think about this is, first, once you've got the house pit dug and you've dug the post holes for the main support posts and any of the outer posts that go around the perimeter of the house, you erect that portion of the house, you tie it together using rope that you've probably made out of agave or yucca fibers, and then you're going to use these willows and you're going to basically weave a basket, like a upside-down basket, over the top of this structure. And you're going to weave them together into, basically the style of architecture is called wattle and daub. So you weave this framework of sticks together, creating this sort of basket. And then what we did up there was we mudded the basket over with a layer of just straight-up clay-rich mud from the local area right there.
And is there a fireplace flue in there? Are you doing cooking in this upside-down woven basket?
Yeah. So pretty much every single pit house you dig has a little fire hearth in them. And they're always right in front of the little ramp that you walk down into the house. And so when we're excavating these houses, we know right where they're going to be. So with experimentation, we're pretty sure they probably had an opening in the roof right above the fire hearth to allow the smoke to go out. But I've built a lot of fires in that little house up there, and it gets really smoky.
Yeah.
So another theory is that they probably built the larger fires outside, and then they just brought in hot coals and had the little fire inside the house just to keep it warm. And I'll tell you, it doesn't take very much at all to heat that little house up.
I bet. So that is the pit house of 700 years ago.
Yeah, so that's what we call the Hohokam time period down here. they were making ceramics, and they were growing corn, beans, and squash at that period of time.
I don't think people realize the numbers of people that were in Arizona 700 years ago.
Yeah.
When you start analyzing the ball courts and the structures, and you get in around Mogollon Rim and see the cliff dwellings that are sprinkled throughout the entire state, and then all of the stuff that you guys are doing down there in Santa Cruz and La Paz and Pima and Pinal County, I mean, there was people everywhere.
Yep. You know what? If you have water, if there's water around and people can dig a canal out of a river or a creek or even dry land farming, if there's at least a little bit of water around, there were people.
Wow. We're speaking this morning with archaeologist Alan DeNoyer, who is with Archaeology Southwest. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I want you, the listener, to put yourself in the seat of a backhoe. And you're beginning to explore a particular site in northern Tucson. And you have the vision to see something at the end of your bucket. That is absolutely amazing. We're going to find out what that was right after this short break. Stay tuned as we continue our conversation with Alan DeNoyer.